3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
The January 6th committee questions former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, what Justice Department officials are saying about the pressure campaign to overturn the 2020 election, and how some clinics are preparing for an influx of patients if Roe v. Wade is overturned.
There are certain states that are really going to kind of bear the burden of this ruling more than others. And what that looks like is that you might see people literally flying multiple states away to try to access abortion care.
Plus, early signs that the job market might be cooling off. It's Thursday, June 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fratoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The January 6th hearings in Congress continue today, this time focused on former President Donald Trump's efforts to enlist the Department of Justice in his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Former Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen testified to the committee that he was urged by a Justice Department official, Jeffrey Clark, to sign a letter to Georgia and other battleground states that claimed the DOJ had identified significant concerns about the 2020 elections. Rosen and his acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue both refused. Here's Donahue testifying at today's hearing.
I explained a number of reasons this is not the department's role to suggest or dictate to state legislatures how they should select their electors. But more importantly, this was not based on fact. This was actually contrary to the facts as developed by department investigations over the last several weeks and months. So I responded to that, and for the department to insert itself into the political process this way, I think would have had grave consequences for the country. It may very well have spiraled us into a constitutional crisis.
Trump then tried to replace Rosen with Clark as acting attorney general. That appointment failed after DOJ staff threatened to resign en masse. Ahead of today's hearings, we learned that federal agents searched Jeffrey Clark's home this week, according to people familiar with the matter. Our reporter Aruna Viswanatha has more.
Federal agents searched his home yesterday early in the morning. He comes out of the house in his pajamas. They get his electronic devices and take other things out of his house. And that is the clearest sign yet that we've seen that the Justice Department is expanding its investigation into the events of January 6th and going back and taking a closer look at the weeks that preceded it.
At the end of today's hearing, new video testimony from former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson was played. In it, she says several GOP representatives sought preemptive blanket pardons from then-President Trump, including Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, Texas's Louie Gohmert, Alabama's Mo Brooks, Pennsylvania's Scott Perry, and Arizona's Andy Biggs. The Supreme Court has struck down a New York law for issuing concealed weapons permits in a decision that marks the widest expansion of gun rights in more than a decade. New York century-old law requires applicants for a concealed weapons permit to demonstrate proper cause and good moral character. In a 6-3 decision, the High Court said that system violates the 2nd and 14th Amendments. But the ruling was wider-reaching than concealed carry. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote for the court that a weapons law is only constitutional if it is consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. Under that standard, gun advocates believe more regulations will fall, allowing greater access to weapons and ammunition nationwide. New York Governor Kathy Hochul blasted the court's ruling.
This decision isn't just reckless, it's reprehensible. It's not what New Yorkers want. And we should have the right of determination of what we want to do in terms of our gun laws in our state. If the federal government will not have sweeping laws to protect us, then our states and our governors have a moral responsibility to do what we can and have laws that protect our citizens.
Meanwhile, a bipartisan gun control bill has cleared a procedural hurdle in the Senate, paving the way for final passage as early as today. The legislation provides about $15 billion in funding for states to implement and enforce red flag laws, remove guns from those deemed dangerous, and expand background checks to include juvenile and mental health records for buyers under 21. The bill will next be put to a simple majority vote in the Senate. Mortgage rates continue to rise. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage climbed above 5.8%, its highest level since late 2008. Higher mortgage rates are weighing on home sales, which fell for the fourth straight month in May. But they have yet to cool soaring median home prices, which shot above $400,000 for the first time last month, according to the National Association of Realtors. United Airlines is cutting about 50 domestic flights out of Newark Liberty International Airport after weeks of high cancellations and delays there. United had asked the Federal Aviation Administration for permission to reduce its schedule at Newark, citing air traffic control staffing shortages, runway construction, and terminal construction, which is limiting gate space. The airline believes that these cuts will relieve congestion and improve its operations at the crowded airport. The new schedule is set to begin July 1st. And hedge fund Citadel is moving from Chicago to Miami. In a letter to employees, billionaire founder Ken Griffin said he views Florida, where he's also personally relocated, as a better corporate environment for the company. Citadel is the third major employer to announce it's leaving Illinois recently. Equipment maker Caterpillar is moving to Texas, and airplane maker Boeing is relocating its headquarters to Arlington, Virginia. Coming up, a look at how abortion providers in some states are preparing for an influx of patients if Roe v. Wade is overturned. More on that after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The era of Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision establishing a constitutional right to abortion, may be coming to an end. Last month, a leaked draft decision indicated that the Supreme Court could overturn that ruling. The decision could come any day. If that happens, 13 states are set to immediately outlaw abortion in most cases. And abortion providers in neighboring states are bracing for an influx of out-of-state patients. Our Wall Street Journal health reporter Julie Wernow went to one of those states, Illinois, to see how they're preparing. And she joins me now. Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Julie, you visited several abortion providers in Illinois. What are things looking like there right now?
That's right. I traveled over to Illinois because it shares a border with several states that already have restrictive abortion laws. And people are already coming over across the borders of those states. Jennifer Welch, who's the president and chief executive officer of Planned Parenthood of Illinois, described the situation as she sees it.
We are already an oasis in a vast abortion desert. And the anticipated decision in Dobbs doesn't change that. It just increases the size of the desert.
So by Dobbs here, what she's referring to is the decision before the Supreme Court right now that is expected to overturn Roe v. Wade. So the Planned Parenthoods that operate in Illinois told me that they've already been anticipating that this decision would happen. So in the last couple of years, they've opened new clinics on state borders, one near the Indiana border, another one near the Wisconsin border. They actually doubled the footprint of their Chicago clinic, anticipating people flying into the state. And then down in southern Illinois, they opened up a clinic across the border from St. Louis to serve that half of the state and all the people who would be coming over from Missouri.
So, Julie, how are providers preparing for this new influx of patients?
They've set up what they're calling a regional logistics center in southern Illinois. I spoke with Kawana Shannon. She's the director of patient access at Planned Parenthood's logistics center. And she said she's trying to hire more employees and stay open up to 7 days a week compared to the 6 days a week they're open now to do things like help women pay for a plane ticket to the clinic there, find abortion funds that can cover gas money, childcare. They have drivers that they work with. They have hotels that they work with. And it really is sort of a big operation that they're running from sort of this little headquarters inside an abortion clinic. In a normal year, they see about 6,000 patients, but Shannon told me that if Roe is overturned, they're projecting that number to grow to 14,000 patients, and they are already double booked and triple booked at the clinic. She said she's hopeful, but she's concerned that a lot of people are going to be left behind.
Even though we're here, even though we're optimistic, even though we're standing strong, someone is not going to find us. Someone is going to get lost in the weeds. Someone is going to think that there's no help out there. Someone's going to put themselves in harm's way to be able to get an abortion. That is what bothers me. You know, yes, we're going to keep fighting. Yes, we're standing strong. We do not live in fear in the sense of we can't, right? But we are definitely in the reality of what's going to happen to a lot of people. A lot of people are not going to get access.
Julie, Planned Parenthood provides services beyond abortions. How are they anticipating that other healthcare services could be impacted?
So Welch tells me that they do have a lot of other services that they provide, including family planning, STI testing and treatment, gender-affirming care, HIV prevention, birth control. They perform vasectomies. All of these things happen at their health centers. And they're really planning to rely fairly heavily on telehealth to try to kind of make do with the number of resources that they have and switch as many people as possible over to that option because it takes fewer resources than having someone in the clinic. She also said that staff may decide to get cross-credentialed to work in restrictive states and then in states that might neighbor restrictive states that are able to perform abortions.
Illinois is in this unique position and has been treating patients from across the border. How are anti-abortion advocates looking at this? Should Roe v. Wade be overturned?
So anti-abortion activists said they are also focusing more of their resources in those places, such as Illinois. They're also looking at Colorado, Florida, the places that are expected to sort of become these abortion hubs in the United States. They're out recruiting volunteers. They're increasing fundraising, building out vans that they can park outside clinics with services that are intended to convince women to remain pregnant. They also said that they anticipate that in some of the states where abortion is banned, that they may need more resources to work with the women who decide to carry their babies to term. So that would be things like counseling and stipends for all kinds of, you know, anything from utility bills or financial needs they might have. Amy Gehrke is the executive director of Illinois Right to Life, and she said her organization has been actually out visiting community centers and churches all around the state to recruit volunteers and expand the organization's lobbying power. She said that they're very keenly aware that Illinois is going to become ground zero for abortion. There's also a group called Coalition Life that operates just outside the Illinois border in St. Louis. And they said they're expanding an internship program that pays people to visit abortion clinics to try to counsel women before they go inside.
So, Julie, we've been speaking mostly about Illinois, but states across the country are going to be dealing with the repercussions of this ruling. What can you tell us about how this is playing out in other states across the nation?
I think that what we're seeing is that it's starting to become very clear when you look at a map of the United States that there are certain states that are really going to kind of bear the burden of this ruling more than others. And what that looks like is that you might see people literally flying multiple states away to try to access abortion care. And what the clinicians tell me is that their concern is that they can't possibly make up for the loss of about half of America's, you know, abortion clinics without there being delays in actual abortions. That means that women may have later term abortions as they take all of the steps necessary to access care.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal health reporter Julie Wernow. Julie, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, it's been a hot hiring market. But things may be cooling off. Not long after recruiting candidates, some companies are starting to rescind job offers. That's what happened to Jenna Radwan. 2 weeks before she was supposed to begin her new job at a tech startup, she got an email from the company. It had entered a hiring freeze and withdrew the offer. She says that experience has changed her job search.
I'm definitely considering things like job security now. I'm definitely like considering things like how long has this company been in business? What is their track record like? Doing more thorough research, asking around, and, you know, just looking at their financials and being, you know, aware of the industry that they're in, how sustainable the business model is.
You can hear more stories like Jenna Radwan's and what you can do if your dream job disappears on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.